Today's scripture comes from Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for helping us to enter into worship this morning and sharing the word of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We are grateful, Father, for your word in our lives and how you continue to be guiding us. Thank you for speaking into our lives. Help us to be humble and open to you, to receiving what you say. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, we adopted a highway, our church. And it's actually right out in front of our church. It's a stretch there. And you find all sorts of interesting things. You found one thing after another. And there was one brother in Christ who will go nameless that was so meticulous in wanting to clean up. He had such ownership of wanting to clean up this section that he was actually walking around picking up cigarette butts as well. Do you know how many cigarette butts are thrown out on the highway? I mean, that's amazing. It was very detailed, though. We told him, you don't have to pick up every cigarette butt. Cans of Red Bull, cans of Budweiser crunched up, thrown out, cups from all sorts of different places. But there was one thing that was found that was then presented to me by a brother in Christ, and I thought it was the perfect item to talk about humility. Because it brings humility into the lives of everyone who encounters it. What is this item? A golf ball. Anybody that has encountered one of these on a place where you hit it and you chase it around and sometimes it goes where you want it to and sometimes, more often than not, where does it go? All over the place. Learns humility rather quickly, don't they? I think it was also presented to me because of the likeness. I have a feeling, really, that it was presented to me. But I'm going to go ahead and present it to someone who I know can handle it much more than I can and use that. And it's a Titleist, so I think it's a pretty good one. So I have no idea how it ended up. I mean, that's a shot that's way off coming out here. I mean, honestly, that was a shot that's way off. Humility. She's now talking about her golf game to the rest of the choir. I'll go ahead and deal with all of you. You guys can go ahead and discuss that. Thank you so much. Humility. Humility is something that has been spoken of in other particular scripture readings. No question about it. And Christ himself in his life was the example, the best example that ever was, ever will be, for how to live a humble life. You understand that he was seeking to follow his Father as we seek to follow the Father in our lives. It takes a humility, a grand humility sometimes, that doesn't seem to go together, to truly follow God whenever there are other temptations, other ways that we could go with this. This particular scripture reading today involves two characters, a story that Jesus is telling. Jesus was brilliant in many ways, but especially as an orator, because he told stories knowing that people would remember them. Have you ever dealt with somebody, or maybe even lived with somebody who liked to tell stories? And maybe sometimes you wondered if the story was true or not, possibly? I'm looking around rather quickly to see who's elbowing the person next to them, or maybe pointing towards them, possibly, taking mental notes. Jesus sets the scene in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. This sets both of these individuals at once together and also apart. They were both Jews because they went to the temple. They were both pious because they went to pray. The one, however, is a Pharisee, someone who was noted for extraordinary piety. Now, it's kind of interesting that he went to the temple, the Pharisee, that is, because they were really one of the first to promote this idea of the priesthood of all believers. That the locus of someone's religious life was actually what was happening in their hearts. This one prays in the temple, however. The other, again, is a tax collector. He cannot be a Pharisee, since the Pharisees are a particularly contemptuous lot of tax collectors. They consort with the Romans, the occupiers of that land. They handle money, and they extort from the populace. Although he properly acknowledges God as the source of his righteousness, and this is the Pharisee, the Pharisee also goes on to remind God of just how fortunate God is to have him as a worshiper. God, I must be your best worshiper ever. I know you are blessed by having me worship you. Sounds odd, doesn't it? But that's in essence what the Pharisee was saying. The Pharisee's prayer is similar to what we find in the Psalms. The Psalms were used in worship all the time, so this is not a surprise. In Psalm 17, verses 3 through 5, the Pharisee, in essence, is following the model of this particular section of this particular psalm. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. The tax collectors, on the other hand, they were corrupt. They were a system that gouged the poor and enriched the wealthy. The tax collector, by definition, was someone of great wealth as well. And they were someone that paid the empire, the Roman occupiers, the conquerors, a set amount for the privilege of gathering whatever it was that they could squeeze out of their neighbors. You see, the tax collectors could actually set their own rates and say, this is what you owe to their neighbors. They would pay the empire a certain set amount, but they would go ahead and tell their neighbors, no, this is what you owe. And they could charge as much as they wanted. And they could collect the money in whatever way they wanted as well. So we have that Pharisee. God, I'm a wonderful worshiper. The best worshiper you've ever seen. And we have the tax collector. Kind of talked about that a little bit. But what does the tax collector say? There's another psalm that really echoes his remorse. And it's Psalm 51. And when do we often use Psalm 51? On Ash Wednesday. A day of repentance, a day of humbling ourselves, a day of reminding ourselves of our standing with God, of where God is and where we are. And he pulls from this psalm. Here's Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. We understand that he's saying these words. He's humbling himself. He's beating his chest. A true witness of true humility. He understands and recognizes his misdeeds, his brokenness. And in these two examples, Jesus, as he continues to come closer and closer to the cross, as he continues to come closer and closer to his destination, Jesus offers these two as examples of one justified, one not justified. This had to be startling because the Pharisee was someone who was in a position of rank and power in that society. And yet the Pharisee was trusting in his own righteousness. God, look what I've done for you. God, look at how good I am. I tithe and I fast, not only once, but twice a week. I fast, Lord. I'm all that, Lord. I got it going on, Lord. You won't ever find those words in any translation of the Bible. But that's in essence what he's doing. And the tax collector, kind of standing off. The Pharisee is in a position of power. Everybody's going to notice him, front and center. The tax collector, kind of off to the side. Maybe he doesn't even realize why he's there in church. Maybe he doesn't even think that he's worthy of being in the temple. And yet Jesus says the tax collector is the one who trusted in God for his righteousness. Didn't trust in himself. He's the one that goes home justified. In other words, put right with God. Jesus says he is the one who in his wonderful example of humility, he didn't even realize he was being an example, goes home right with God. Brings up a question. How many people, in church even, feel as though they're doing everything right, they're better Christians, they are more esteemed by God, and yet they're the ones that go home missing the point, not justified by God. On the other hand, the folks who come and humble themselves and say, Lord, it's all about you. Not only today in church, but it's all about you for the rest of my life. And I'm going to seek to humbly pray before you because I know you love me. You love me, Lord, more than I can imagine. And although I'm unworthy, and I really haven't done anything to earn it, Father, you still love me, and you always will. That's the one. That's the one. Right with God. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8, Paul assures us of these words, and assured the early church as well. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Isn't that wonderful? God seeks us to bless us with that gift of grace. It's a gift, and it's something that we can open every day. In fact, it washes over us, pours through us, and fills us with God's abundant, incredible, overwhelming love. The Iona community in Scotland has a gift for articulating through tune and lyrics many of the joys and challenges of discipleship in a complex world. In their song, Sing Hey for the Carpenter, that's the title of it. Sing Hey for the Carpenter, worshipers are invited by Jesus to come with me, come wander, celebrating the liberation that comes through leaving behind false things that were once a source of meaning and comfort. Leaving behind false things that were once a source of meaning and comfort. Do we have some of those things in our lives? Have we had some of those things in our lives? Will we have some of those things in our lives? Hear this also. Part of the chorus celebrates the carpenter. Who is the carpenter? Jesus. Jesus is the carpenter. Leaving his tools. It continues, sing hey for the Pharisees. The Pharisees. Remember which one they were. Sing hey for the Pharisees leaving their rules. Sing hey for the fishermen leaving their nets. And then I especially love this last line. Sing hey for the people leaving their regrets. My friends, you can leave your regrets right here. You can lay them at the altar. Whatever it is you need to name, God is ready to receive it. God expects to receive it. God wants to receive it. Whatever it is, in that most vulnerable state that you come before God, God embraces you, wraps his arms around you, and loves you, and say, leave it all with me. Leave it all. Don't carry it anymore. Whatever that thing is that you've been carrying, whatever that regret, whatever that guilt, leave it with me. That's the message from our God of power and grace and love. Reverend Robert Holmes, offers this thought. Every so often I see a sculpture or a painting that makes me cry. One painting that has had that impact on me is one called The Presence in the Midst by Dale Penrose. Perhaps you've seen it. It shows the interior of a great grand cathedral. Think about one that maybe you've visited sometime or a picture of one. Your attention is immediately drawn to the chancel area and the altar where bright candlelight illumines the priest's sermon Eucharist to members of the congregation. Then you notice, at the bottom corner of the painting, in the shadows, is a figure of a person, you can't tell its gender, kneeling in contrition, but apparently feeling unqualified to approach the altar and receive communion. Somebody on the outside, kneeling, feeling I'm not worthy. And next to that humble figure, in the shadows, stands Jesus. If Jesus is to be found in that cathedral, it was not most importantly at the altar, but at the side of a penitent sinner. Humility, offering ourselves, warts and all. God knows all about us. And guess what? He still loves us. So in this time of offering of ourselves, Lord, here I am, maybe saying that again, that simple prayer, offer to God yourself. Simply say, Lord, here I am. I seek your forgiveness. I lay my regrets and all that I carry and all that I have been carrying, my baggage before you. and receive that grace of God's love once again in your life. Join with me.